Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I remember being on 72nd Street after yoga, and we got a slice of pizza because that's what you do after yoga. You have a slice of pizza and smoke a cigarette because that's the mood in 1990. So I was not in my right mind at all. No beans back, totally a nut job. So we're sitting there on 72nd Street and he calls me a bitch. And Electra says, because she grew up in an ashram, in a cult, she's like, that's the burning. She's like, that's the burning from the cheese. Don't worry, you just did yoga for an hour and a half, you did Ashtanga, it's too late to be doing that anyway, and now you've had dairy and it's the burning, let it go. And I was like, oh, okay, it's the burning.
Thank you so much for listening to Divorce Party. We really appreciate it. If you like this podcast, we'd love it if you could leave us 5 stars on Spotify podcasts or Apple podcasts. And if you want to see our lovely faces, we do have a YouTube channel where you can watch the episodes, and be sure to like and subscribe and follow us on Instagram at Divorce Party Podcast. Welcome to Divorce Party with Monica Casey and Tom Arnold. Our guest today is a nurse practitioner. She's also a certified menopause provider. She has her very own podcast called Age Lust. Please be sure to check that out. And she is here today to tell us about her divorce story. Please welcome to the show, Jessica Bodonsky. Hey, Jessica. Hey, Tom.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to this show, Jessica.
Hi, thanks for having me. I can't wait to talk about my divorce.
I know, right? Yeah, yeah. The highlight of your Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
So we got connected through a mutual friend, Ingrid, and she told me that you are a nurse practitioner in the Bronx.
I am. Oh, I don't practice. Well, I kind of practice in the Bronx, but I am a family nurse practitioner. Yeah, I am. I actually work, I don't talk too much about my job, but I actually work in an STI clinic. I work for the city, sexually transmitted infections, and it is the best 9-to-5 job I've ever had in my life. The best. I love it.
That's amazing. What is so great about it?
I became a nurse practitioner just so that I could talk about sex and sexuality. Like, there's a whole long, and I could give you like the brief story, but yeah. I became a nurse practitioner because I was talking to patients about sex and sexuality. And then I thought, well, let me be able to prescribe things when needed. And I became a family nurse practitioner to talk to adolescents. Like, I don't really like to deal with kids. I have 3. I'm a breeder, but I'm not interested in children. Yeah. And so this is kind of the best of both worlds. So I'm seeing all of these people who are coming in, you know, some people are really cool with it and they're like, I got chlamydia again, you know, and then some people are really feeling a lot of shame around whatever is happening for them. So it's this opportunity. It's this very intimate time where I can care for folks and also, without judgment and without shame. And I just absolutely love it. Plus, you're literally giving them a cure. I have finger quote thingies mm-hmm. up, right? A cure. And we're taking care of something. And, you know, I grew up in Chicago, and my dad, when I was I'm 52, and when I was a kid, HIV and AIDS was very different. Mm-hmm. And it literally wiped mm-hmm. out my family in a particular way. Like, my dad lost everything from it. It was a big deal. And so now to see what is happening, and that it is this livable, manageable mm-hmm. virus, and the fact that we're trying to stop it by 2030 is so mind blowing. And so it's a lot for me. It's awesome. And then kind of my side gig or my passion project is menopause care. So I just do tiny groups with that, because for me, menopause fucking sucks. Can mm-hmm. I curse? Is that okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, say whatever you want. Yeah.
All right. Because if I can't, it's a problem.
Yeah, totally.
So that's it. So that's what I do with my degree and my license.
I love that.
I have to ask one question. I have a lot of nurse friends, because I have a heart cap, and they're all the counselors. What's the biggest thing you've ever pulled out of a guy's ass?
Oh, so when I was a bedside nurse, anytime somebody had something stuck in their ass, they'd be like, Jessica, please, go and take care of that. So there was one person who he had to have his whole colon, like most of his colon, removed.
Oh, God.
Because he had been fighting with his partner, and he put a dildo, and this is how he described it. So I'll say it in words as well. He's like, and so I, my dildo is like this. And so he showed me from his fist to his elbow, and it ended up rupturing his colon. I didn't pull this out, but we dealt with that. And so that was one thing. I've never had to pull anything out. That usually is surgically done, but I have had conversations with folks. Mm-hmm. So like, one person put a carrot in their bottom, but they were smart about it because they
put
it in
Easter.
But they put it in a condom.
Oh, that's
in the carrot, like the carrot in the condom. So that's like really thinking it through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It did break. It was hard to retrieve. So there's a lot of talking about like having a base. If you're going to stick anything in your ass, and this is, everyone's got an asshole, right?
PSA.
PSA, everyone's got an asshole, and there are different ways to have anal, and for female bodied folks and male bodied folks, and it's a fun and exciting world. But you want to make sure that there's a base. You want to make sure that there's a base that you can, that it's going to kind of plunge it, stop it from going up. Is that, but
are you writing this down, Tom?
Yeah. No, I'm taking it. I'm so lucky that I have a small penis, because really, I'm less dangerous to the women.
Yeah. Well, you've got a pretty big base called your body to pull it out. So it's not going to get lost in there, right?
Yeah. I've also had part of my colon removed because I was septic. And so does it stretch back out? I mean, it seems big enough. It seems to be working.
The colon?
Fine. Yeah.
Well, the colon is big, right? Because you've got the ascending, transcending. Oh. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of material that you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. So we have some colon to spare if we had to.
Yeah. We all have some colon to spare.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you want to know something interesting? So, or maybe it's not, I don't know. But when I was in nursing school, I had already had my degree, and I was going I had two kids at the time. And this actually ties into the divorce, because he was not down for me going to nursing school. He was like, that's a cute idea, but you should do something else. But I was like, you know what? Listen, bitch, we need to feed this family, and mm-hmm. you're not doing it. Mm-hmm. So I went to nursing school, and I was watching a colostomy bag video. Mm-hmm. And she had like a mullet and this mm-hmm. brown, like frizzy hair. Do you remember like the porn from like the 80s, early 80s?
Still, yeah.
And she had that long, like Swedish erotica, right?
Yeah,
like the long... Right. She had like those long nails that were like that dark reddish color that's almost purple. And so she's sitting there in her like lip gloss and her hair, and she's taking her finger and she's like massaging the colon area and sticking her finger into, and this is to show you how to do colostomy care. I was like, this is a fucking porn. And that is what like it took, like took me down the, cause I was like, now I've got to go home. I've got to like research, is there ostomy porn? And one of my favorite things as a bedside nurse, when I was a medical surgical nurse, was doing colostomy care. I loved it. And I still love it. Mm-hmm. I don't do it anymore. But the idea of like cleaning this area that, again, people have so much shame around. Mm-hmm. And then for men, this concept of like virility and like now you're cleaning the shit and all of this, you know, just taking the care to like care for the area and the skin. And I mean, that was one of my favorite tasks as a bedside nurse.
Well, I will say I had a colostomy for 90 days.
Yeah.
And when I woke up after my, I kind of had this emergency surgery. It's a very, the scar is not like they had time to do it. And I woke up and I looked out, I saw that. I'm like, oh, God damn it. God damn it. And the doctor said, well, it's going to be in 90 days. You could get this taken down. That's what they call it. And I was like, oh, geez, I can't. I'm going to put a chart on the wall and count the days. And I remember because the equipment, they, you know, it was like a Tupperware thing. It was it was easy to do. Like it wasn't. And I remember at 90 days, when I got up towards 90 days, I was like, well, I really don't have to go to the, they're saving me time to go to the bathroom, you know, and they took it down. But I do know a lot of people that live with them. I mean, for instance, my heart cap, where I know there's kids, and I was feeling boo-hoo for myself when I first, like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
I woke up to that. But then I talked to a couple people, there's kids that their whole lives they've lived with it, that shower and swim, and they're in my heart cap, they're little kids, and they don't complain about it. And I'm like, I think I could probably handle this for however long. So yeah, it's a, and I, from what I understand, the, this is in 2010, and things had moved up in the last few years as far as the appliances and how easy to, you know, you have to learn to do it yourself too, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm told back in the day, it was a little bit of a dirtier issue, you know, like the stuff wasn't as good. And that now I was like, oh, this goes, okay. I will tell you this. I got an awareness of what I was eating, which is not a bad thing to have. Because you always think, I put shit in my mouth, I put something in my mouth that disappears. And so you were like, oh boy, this is, I got to be a little more thoughtful with what I put in my mouth.
I just had a random thought and totally out of nowhere, but have you ever thought about doing as maybe another side gig, colon hydrotherapy for people? Because I feel like that kind of ties into this nurturing, cleansing aspect. And I used to love to get colonics, and I don't have a person anymore. And I would for sure want to go to a nurse practitioner.
But, you know, I don't know how good, I used to get those all the time as well in the 1900s, because like, I've always had constipation. Like everyone in the world wants to know that about me, right?
Same girl.
So like, it's just, And it seems to be a family issue, but I don't know if they're so good for you in the long run.
I don't know. I had like up a six pack.
Because it feels good. Yeah, but I know, but up the fiber to 30 grams a day, which is hard to do.
Yeah.
Up your fiber, especially if you're getting into your 40s and up. You want to up your fiber and make sure that you're taking about 30 grams of fiber, which seems like a little on the higher side. I think that the recommendation is like 25 for female-bodied people than 35 for men.
How much for Tom? 35?
Probably 35 grams. Yeah. But I this is not medical advice.
Totally. We're just having coffee here.
Well, I also think back in the day when I got the hydrocolonics, there was a woman, an African woman that lived, that did it down Santa Monica, and you're hooked up to the tubes, and you blast all the water. And each time I tried to take more water into my, to fill up, what was my goal? I want to break that record. But the tubes would come, and then she was very nurturing too. And be so impressed by the stuff coming out of me. She's like, oh, this is fantastic. It really built me up.
It's a great release.
Like, yeah. And then she, one day she went, You need to chew your peanut M&Ms.
Gross.
I was swallowing them whole. And, but yeah, it was.
I love it. I think it's, I would feel almost high afterwards because you're like
right?
hollow and you're just, I don't know. I felt like it was like a second period.
Yeah. I don't know. It's been so long. I haven't, but the thing is that like, I'm totally good with everything, anything happening, all mucus, all That's whatever amazing. From the waist below.
I want you in an emergency.
Yeah, I'm good. But vomit? No, thank you. No, sir.
Well, let me just say one last thing. When you have kids, especially when they're little, you deal with all kinds. Yes. From my experience, I'm a single dad. You deal with a lot of, you get over it pretty quick. You know, you deal with all of it.
I have three. It's still gross to me. I love them to death. I used to use that suction thing, sucking snot out. And I'd like, oh.
The nose Frida.
Yeah, the nose Frida. But I still am like, oh God, that's rough.
I have a daughter and then I have two elderly dogs. One of them is like lost control of his bowels at this point. Yeah. And I am just constantly washing my hands between them. And then if she ever gets sick, like there's been times where my skin is like falling off my hands.
That's
I'm crying.
What mine is like.
I'm crying. I've had those moments where I'm like, I'm Cinderella. Like I'm just cleaning up everyone's shit and piss all the time. It's never going to end.
Yeah. Well, but in STIs, you're happy to look at an asshole. It's like, me, I love it.
That's
and if
so
I see some
funny.
Mucus, I'm like, great, gonorrhea. I love it.
Yeah.
Stupid question, but how many assholes do you think you've seen in your lifetime? How many different assholes?
I was actually trying to figure out. So I've only been at this particular place for a year. And I think I see about, let's see, I'm going to say roughly... Let's average like 8 a day.
Awesome.
And that's like 5 days a week. So that's 40 assholes. That's like low, slow, big day. So 40. Mm-hmm.
40
so
a week.
What? 40 a week
times
like
52.
Yeah. So whatever that is.
I got my calculator.
Yeah.
2,000.
We're doing it. 40 times 52. 2080. Good job, Tom. Jeez.
Oh, wow.
Mathematician. Okay, so you said you were going through nursing school while you were married. Do you think that was where your marriage really took the turn?
No.
Or... Okay, tell us everything.
I knew when I met him, you know, it all started like my best friend got married. Right. And so at the time that I met him, I was going through this huge transition. Like my family, I come from a family of artists. My dad has died, but my mom is an actor. My dad had jazz clubs. I grew up like with that. And so my mom has like, she's like, I don't understand what you do for a living. But anyway, so I grew up that way, and there was a lot of drugs, a lot of alcohol, I was an only kid, a lot of neglect. And I think that, my dad used to say, Jess, we did our best and our best was shit. Like, you know, he was really clear and
That's
that was
nice.
Yeah. It was like the most affirming thing he ever said. Right. And he said, we had a great relationship at the end, but you know, it was hard. So when my best friend, so I started dating this guy and I met him in a 12-step program and I was 25 at the time. We had the same, same background. So his mom was Black. His dad was white. My mom is Black. My dad is white. He was young. We were both young people. He had been like in the room since he was 17. His parents, his dad was like a big AA guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all fucked up. Like, I don't really care. Like they know what I think.
Yeah.
They were all kind of fucked up, but I was in this space where I think that it happens a lot for kids who grow up in around alcohol and drugs. And I'm talking about like, the FBI came to the house, drugs, right? I'm talking about like mountains of coke and like scales and stuff. Like a very, and there are a group of kids in Chicago that like our parents, this was what our dads were doing.
Oh.
So I think that you have a hard time reality checking, and you don't know, you lose the ability to understand yourself or trust yourself. And when we think about attachment, secure attachment is just like you're 52 and starting to figure it out, right? Because for me, I have 3 kids. One is 20, one is 17, and one is 8. And so I'm watching the older kids in relationship, and I'm like, okay, I have to get a hold on this, because if attachment can change, if that's the one thing that we can change in our lives, and heal in a way, like, I better do it so I can model for them. Anyway, yes. So when I met him, there were a lot of elders around saying like, I don't know. And then a couple elders who are saying, no, it's probably an okay idea. You know, I picked him because of what was similar, there were like red flags, but you know how like those new memes are like red flags, but I thought it was at the circus. Like, that depends on like how
well, and when you're young, like how old were you? He was 25 and you were...
No, I was 25 at the time.
And I feel like at 25, no matter what anyone says, especially if they say, I don't know, there's that element of like sexy danger or like, I don't care. I'm going to pay now, play later.
And I think also there was this whole kind of, you know, I came to New York by myself. I grew up in Chicago. I just was like, I literally like auditioned for college, learned the thing, auditioned, got a full scholarship, moved to New York. Like that was it, by myself, no family, no nothing, just came. And already had very harmful things happen in my time in New York. So when I saw him, I thought, okay, I had a fantasy of what it may be like to be with this person who, you know, had put in time in these rooms. And, you know, I kind of bought into the hype. He's also extremely literate. So he's got like, as far as like, he's just a very intelligent.
Charming,
violent human. A horrible guy. So I kind of knew, but I talked myself out of it. So I'll give you an example. So I was doing yoga a lot at that time because my parents had a swami and da, 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 da. So I came to New York and I was doing a lot of yoga, and he came and did yoga. And then we met up with our friend Electra, and that is their name, Electra. And Electra had grown up in an ashram upstate New York. So I remember being on 72nd Street after yoga, and we got a slice of pizza because that's what you do after yoga. You have a slice of pizza and smoke a cigarette because that's the mood in 1990, whatever it was. So we go, and he, for some reason, calls me a bitch. Nobody had ever called me that before. Not to say that I hadn't had complicated whatever, but you know what the other thing was with this guy? He had the same sign as my high school boyfriend. And I mean, all the stupid things, same sign as my high school boyfriend who I was madly like in love with and who I left because he needed like a healthy, soft relationship. And I wanted to wild out. And his mother had the same name as this guy's mother, like stupid, not rational. So I was not in my right mind at all. No beans back, totally a nut job. So we're sitting there on 72nd Street, and he calls me a bitch. And Electra says, because she grew up in an ashram, in a cult, she's like, that's the burning. She's like, that's the burning from the cheese. Just like, don't worry. You just did yoga for an hour and a half. You did Ashtanga. It's too late to be doing that anyway. And now you've had dairy and it's the burning. Let it go. And I was like, oh, okay, it's the burning.
Overheard LA.
Yeah. So I kind of went with it. And I think my dad, you know, he dropped out of high school, was very successful for a very long time of my life, and then lost everything around the AIDS epidemic. And he But I love that kind of smart guy coming up from, you know, nothing, underdog thing. So I thought, let me give it, give this guy a chance. And yeah, and then my best friend got married a couple years later. I literally got held up at gunpoint at one point in my building. I was a tenant organizer. I got held up in my building. I was a tenant organizer and I got held up in my building at
gunpoint. Hold on, what's a tenant organizer? What is that, a tenant organizer?
Oh, so I went to this small liberal arts college where I got my degree, my bachelor's degree in cultural studies with an emphasis on gender and race, third world feminism. So I, of course, became a tenant organizer where I would work with an organization that I don't know if it belongs. And that was another disaster. But we worked in Harlem and worked with tenants of different buildings, usually public housing, or there were buildings that were public housing that the tenants bought from the building. So they became co-ops in a sense. Okay. So we would work with these usually elders about, or people who were receiving benefits, make sure that their heat and hot water was going. We'd go over to 125th Street and yell at Rangel, we'd yell at the assembly people and the council people and stuff like that, right? So I was doing that work, making $13,000 a year. I remember that because I was like, wow, that's pretty good. and I was living in one of the buildings where my tenants lived, and I got held up by gunpoint. And I had called him over after, and he was very capable, strong guy. I don't know why I'm bringing that up right now. I think it's probably because that was the first time we had sex. Mm-hmm. Anyway, because I was held up at gunpoint, I ended up moving in with my best friend from college. That's how that works. Okay. And so when she got married a couple of years later, I felt lost. Like, she's still my closest mm-hmm. friend. She is the friend that, like, I don't have to talk to her all the time, but I know that if I ever need a sense of home, I can call her, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so she got married, so of course I had to get married mm-hmm. after that. My mother was totally against it. We literally played out like the scene from Terms of Endearment. Do you know that? Like, that if you marry Flap Horton, like, I will, yeah. like, it'll be the worst mistake you ever made. Do you know that?
Yes.
Yeah. She says that. And so we were sitting there and she was like, I will not come. I will not. I'm not, like, this is the hugest. He will steal your spark. He will steal it. And he did. He really did. So I'll kind of fast forward. So we had an emotional prenuptial agreement, which meant he needed to continue therapy. He needed to do what he needed to do in order for this to work. Neither of us had any money. He barely was employed, but super smart. He read Proust. And when we had kids, which is usually what happens when people, like, the highest incidences of domestic violence happen in pregnancy. And he did not harm me in pregnancy. But after we had the kid, things started to get really rough. And
Why do you think that is, that the highest rates of domestic violence are during pregnancy? Why do you think that happens?
I think it's, I think with any, like, I think that the dynamic just changes. Mm-hmm. It just,
I think
changes.
There's a little bit of jealousy too. I feel like they're jealous that this thing is taking you mm-hmm. away from their attention.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it's a huge shift. He wasn't, it didn't happen then. Oh, at that point, we were living in a different state because 9/11 had happened, right? Mm-hmm. So 9/11 happened. I had a different job. I was doing different things at that point. But he would, while we were in the dating process, like he would just like not show up, or like I'd be calling. This was like cell phone. Payphone time and like pagers. And
so he would just ghost you at times.
Just kind of, yeah, just ghost me or like show up like hours later, like really bizarre stuff. And just poor, really poor behavior. And I accepted it. So we did eventually get married. It was a gorgeous wedding, by the way. It was like really beautiful. My mom did come. Nice. And it was really a spectacular wedding, really tiny. It happened in Michigan. That's because my dad had a house in Michigan. And it was beautiful. And then 9/11 happened. And that was fine, too. We were living literally in a shack and then a boat. And I had a baby on a boat, not okay. on the actual boat, but eventually when I had the kid, things really became apparent. He would always say harsh words to me and dismiss my feelings or blame me for his anger. But when we had kids, then the violence started. And there was one point where he kicked me in front of our daughter at one point, like it was rough. It was rough. He didn't want me to talk to my family. He didn't want me to, he talked badly about his own mother, and I should have been like, oh, that's not cool. But,
did you say that he, had spent time in the rooms? Did I mishear that? Like,
no. Yeah. He had been since he was 17.
Yeah. That would have given me confidence if I were you, like, okay, he's working with people. He's honest. He does this thing. Sometimes when you go in, when you're 17, from my experience at watching these kids, sometimes they kill. My sponsor went in at 18 and 42 years. He only got arrested once, but sometimes the 17-year-olds just don't. Your brain is still whatever it is. And if you get with the right group of folks, well, you know, you could. But if you don't, obviously, your guy did it. But I do understand why you'd have some confidence in him to begin with.
But he did. Like, you know, my sponsor was like an auntie to me. And there were all these people who knew him and were, you know, liked him. He's very charming. He was a very, very charming person. I mean, he does this thing or did this thing. I don't know. I haven't talked to him, and he's been gone since the actual divorce. I haven't seen him since, I don't know when, but,
You're lucky.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was very charming. Like, women would just fall in love with him because he'd look at them in these piercing eyes and smoke his Camel unfiltered, you know, and like, you know, and he's
just make them feel special. Okay. So after he kicked you, what did you do? Did you do nothing? Did you call the police? Did you tell your best friend? Were you living? So even that friend that's like your main person, you just.
I just didn't say anything. And then he started to harm. And then kind of simultaneously, he was harming our youngest child too. Mm-hmm. And one time I had a babysitter, and my oldest, who was maybe 4, was like, oh, remember that time daddy kicked you? And I was just so humiliated. But he was calling me a stupid, you know, dumb fuck, and shut the fuck up, you dumb bit, you know, like every day. So when I ended up going to nursing school, I would come home from nursing school and I'm not saying this to, it's like the hardest thing you can do is get your bachelor's in nursing for a bachelor's degree. I'm not saying that medical, like, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
So I was going back, I got my a second bachelor's in nursing. So I would do like 12 hour clinicals or be in school all day. And like, and literally I had just stopped breastfeeding when I started. Like I, my first day of nursing school, my dress was covered in milk because my son was at that point, I don't know, 18 months, but I was still nursing. And anyway, I would come home, there'd be dirty diapers all over the house and nothing was clean. And I had off, I'd said like, why don't we take out more loans?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We can get childcare for you to help you and support, you know. He's like, no, I'm not gonna fucking do that, and da 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 da. And he would call me, I would call to check in on at lunchtime, not to check in to say, are you doing a good job as a parent, right, but just like, yeah, hey, how's it going, should I bring anything? He'd be like, what the fuck are you calling me for while you're at fucking lunch? Who the fuck do you think you are? Go have fucking lunch with your friends. That was daily.
Wow.
So that's how I went through nursing school. He threw us across the room once, broke a chandelier. We were subletting through.
Did anyone ever in your building hear this and like call the cops on you guys? Nothing.
Mm-hmm. No, nothing. And there were times where like he did one thing to my kid and, you know, he did one thing to my kid. We got married in 2000. We divorced or we separated in 2009. And like today is very auspicious because tomorrow, the 17th of March, I consider my Independence Day because that is the day I told him I was leaving.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh, I just got full body goosebumps.
Yeah. I told one neighbor about something that had happened and she was shocked, didn't say much. She's a very quiet person. And I told him that I mentioned it. And he's like, why the fuck are you telling people our business? I said, but if it's not a big deal, what's the big deal? If what you did is okay, why can't I say it? I remember another time where I had a neighbor who her husband at the time was becoming a cop. And I saw her walking down the street and I said, Keke, I'm not going to say her name, but I said, Keke, what's going on? She had full makeup on and she had this big suitcase. She pulls down, it was summertime, she pulls down her sweater and she, black and blue all over her neck. And she's like, he tried to kill me.
Ugh.
So she was fleeing and I was like, what can I do to help? Da, 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 da. Send me, you know, here's my email, so on and so forth. And I told that to him. And his response was, no, he didn't try and kill her. Because if he had tried to kill her, she would have been dead. And I thought,
wow.
I thought he's gonna kill me.
Yeah.
At that point, I thought, this guy is gonna try and kill me or my children.
Yeah.
So school had ended and it was time for me to take the boards, the NCLEX. And you take this test. I know we probably don't have that much time, but you take this test and you have to study. And I was doing like a Kaplan course, which came with my school. And I wasn't scoring very high. I wasn't scoring very high. So I postponed the test for 10 days. I was scoring okay, but not like where I really wanted to take the test and be done. And he said, when I postponed it for 10 days, he told me that I was being manipulative, selfish, and how dare I postpone that test. In the meantime, I had left for a couple days to study at my mom was doing a play in Connecticut. So I went to Connecticut to just sit in her apartment and study. And he was kind of harassing me. And I just knew things were bad. Now, his family had separated 6 times, I think, his parents. And I'm talking about like broke up, moved, new apartment, Like,
I so think the pattern was already there
for him. So I never threatened to leave. I knew that if I was ever going to threaten to leave, it wasn't going to be a threat. It was going to be a thing. Yeah. So I told him the day before on March 17th, 2009, the day before my exam, I had told him I had a whole plan of what was going to happen the day before my test. So I think my test was in 2 days. And he told me that he was actually going to see his therapist that day. I had to take care of the baby. He like basically turned it all into his thing. Mm-hmm. And I looked at him and I was like, this is some like passive aggressive Oprah 101 shit. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? Pass or fail. I'm done. I'm not staying married to you anymore. I am done. And it took me months and months and months to get him out of the house because he wouldn't leave. And I knew he needed a girlfriend in order to leave. Right. And so he got a couple and he got a couple, which I ended up finding out about. And then my first day of work, he was out with one of them until 4 a.m. And I had to start my first day as a nurse at 7 a.m.,
And you needed him home to be with the kids.
I just wanted to sleep. Yeah. I wanted to sleep and feel rested and like take, but he came back to the apartment at like 4 a.m. So the divorce was not eventually.
Wait, were you guys still in the same bedroom?
No. I had moved out of the bedroom a long time ago. Like I had at that March point, I had moved out of the bedroom. I was sleeping with the children at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had left the bedroom and he was doing whatever he was doing and he was throwing things at me and he was, you know, he would like barge into the bathroom while I was showering and tell me I was 39 at the time or 38, 37. I don't 38. And he would be like, nobody's ever going to want you. Look at you. You're disgusting. Yeah. You know, blah, 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 blah.
What were your kids? What did your kids think was going on when you moved into their bedroom?
I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
Right. When you told him that you were done, how did he react in that moment? Because I would, in your position, just playing this out like a movie would think, oh, that's where he kills you when you say you're going to
leave. Oh, yeah, for sure.
He didn't believe it.
Yeah. Mm.
He didn't believe it and he didn't. But I think he was already had like girlfriends at that time. Like I think
he was already, like,
yeah, cool. I think he really didn't believe it. Now, I don't think that he like, this is like a really difficult thing. So like he had firearms in the house would beg him to tie them up, to like lock them up. The police department wouldn't take that. I mean, it was such a shit show, such a fucking shit show. It was so difficult. You know, when he realized that I was actually serious, he said, the children will never see me again and I will bankrupt you. That's that. And he's like, I will make your life fucking miserable to that effect. So that was the thing, you know, I didn't know in a way he didn't, anyone who abuses people like that, they have no courage, right? They really have no courage. But he eventually moved in with his girlfriend. And then things got really dicey because he harmed one of our children at his girlfriend's house. My daughter told me about it. She's still dealing with that now, you know, years later. But and things very much escalated. And then he was harming the girlfriend as well. And the interesting thing is that I started to tell people, I ended up getting this therapist who I didn't know was a domestic violence person.
Amazing.
And I didn't even know that what was happening, shaking, kicking, cursing, was like, I didn't know. You kind of, it's like that thing where you literally, they tell you, you're looking at the sky looks blue, and they're like, that is a green hue. And you're like, oh, well, maybe it is green. Okay, I guess it's green. Anyway, so I started telling people in the neighborhood, because we lived in kind of a close community, the kids were all playing, and nobody believed me. That was the other thing too. Nobody believed me. But when she said it, everyone started saying like, oh, I'm so sorry. We didn't believe you. We didn't think it was true. We didn't think he could be like that. But I was like, okay, well, she's young and cute and perky tits. So there you go.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what the thing is that you were dealing with. And I certainly understand that from emotional abuse from a position. First of all, when it happens to you, you're like, this is not, you know, this can't be happening. I don't know. Then when you reach out to people, you would assume they're go, oh my God, let me help you. I get it. But it's information that a lot of people cannot, they're like, whoa, yeah, I don't, maybe it's you. You know, this seems like, and unfortunately you had confirmation with the other woman. It unfortunately took somebody else to confirm it. I think the best thing, keep talking about it, share it with people, you know, it does seek the idea of a secret. And you told him, I have shared this with people, and he didn't go, oh my God, I feel so bad, I'm gonna, you know, work on myself. No, he keeps escalating stuff. But man, you're lucky you got out of that deal.
Yeah,
you know, you got kids, and you were threatened, and threatened to be destroyed. And I know you seem like you have a lot of confidence today, but how do you, you know, every human being, you're like, okay, this is scary in a lot of different ways. I've got to get my shit together so that I can do this thing. So you're lucky.
Yeah, no, I am really lucky. And I have, you know, my parents were around, and I eventually talked to them, and, you know, and talked to my friends. And I think, like, Marie Osmond became my like guru of relationships, because she says you marry at the level of your self-esteem. And I was like, yes, you are right, Marie Osmond.
Yeah, let me tell you, I saw her recently. She is so freaking smoky hot, like up close. We did this thing together. I'm like, Marie, what is going? You are, and she's got to be close to my age. I don't know, but she looked so good. It had such a positive thing going on. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to live up to this. And you know, she also, you know, she's a Mormon, and you assume, well, they're kind of world. They don't really have to deal with this shit, you know. But I do remember her being honest about the stuff, and like you know, like you too. You got, her hair was similar to yours, amazing. But that's really good to get your inspiration from
Marie Osmond.
Yeah,
right?
That's so random.
Once he finally moved out, did you get a new place, or did you stay in that place with your kids? And what did you do to like change the energy of the house or make it a healthier environment for you and your kids?
Yeah. So as luck had it, my mom got a show at the same time.
Awesome.
So she moved in with us. And as soon as that lease was up and he had moved in with the girlfriend, we moved out, and we moved like a mile away from that neighborhood, which was just enough space. And then it was a lot of like slow kind of process, and it's still I'm still processing. I mean, the divorce itself was like a very long, drawn out, bizarre situation that ended in us. So right at the time of divorce, which was the signing the paper, was 2012, and no fault divorce just had become, quote unquote, like the law of the land in New York. But before that, I had to say, I had to say he wouldn't fuck me for a year, which was fine. But, you know, and I had to say it out loud. Like, I didn't say that, but you had to say like, you it I can't remember what it's called, but you had to say like he's withheld sex for a whole year in front of the judge, in front of everyone. Whoa. I did not care. Oh. I was like, I'll say it. You can even give me a pap smear. I don't care. Right.
Right. Just
whatever. But his father, his own elderly father, had to bring him. He didn't want to come to court. His lawyer was screaming at him in the hall. Mm-hmm. And at the end, the guy with the gun, the court officer, mm-hmm. shook my hand and said, congratulations, mm-hmm. at the end of the actual thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we had moved. So that was 2009 to 2012 till I finally like legally cut ties with this person, and then never saw him again. Never heard from him.
Oh my God. That's a dream. That's a dream come true.
Well, it's a dream and it's not, right?
Yeah, because okay. for your kids.
My kids have benefited because I have since remarried. So my kids have benefited from it in that sense. But as long as the guy doesn't die, like I don't wish him death because I want my kids to have the agency to reach out to him if they so choose.
Right.
Right. As they become more and more adult, if they want. You know, the worst thing would be if he did drop dead and they don't have that sense of whatever they need.
Closure.
And they may never need it. They may never need it, but I want them to have as much control and sense of sovereignty or power in order to reconcile that relationship. So yeah, we moved and it was like this slow, steady process. And like even considering date, like his girlfriend called me at one point because she couldn't find him. And I was like, and it was her first day of work. And I was like,
oh. Bitch, not my problem.
I know, but I felt bad for her. I was like, oh my God, it's your first day. I said, how was it? Was it good? Was it good?
I love that you're emotional support for the new girlfriend.
For the girlfriend, right?
I have a question. When your mom moved in, where did she sleep?
Oh, she had her own spot. You know, my mother's a diva. My mother's a diva.
She's like a star.
I call her the famous Pat Bowie. She's not really famous except our family. God. And she works, but you know, she got her own room, her own space, you know.
Nice.
That, you know.
So what are some things you did did you continue with therapy to help yourself?
Yeah.
And what did you do for your kids? Did your kids ever end up in therapy?
My kids ended up going, there's an amazing organization called New York Center for Children. And I don't know if it's still around, but New York Center for Children offers therapy to families and the children of that have either witnessed violence or sexual abuse or been the actual victims. So they were amazing, amazing, amazing resource. And we still are like this whole family is still very much in this process of therapy and understanding and understanding ourselves. And even my mother, you know, she's 84 and she's still in the process of understanding and learning about herself. So we did that. Eventually I started to date. And the way that I did the dating thing, there Salon magazine had a online dating thing called Nerve. And I was like, I'm just interested in dating, not professional dating, like the dating where I am cute, you pay, you know, and we go out kind of thing. And my goal with that, I had a friend who went on like 100 dates in 90 days or 90 days, like that kind of thing. And my goal was like, I will go out with anyone who seems kind, even if they're not my type, because I wanted to train myself to recognize that there were kind men in the world. It didn't mean that they were the people for me.
Right.
But I just wanted to make sure that I could identify kind people.
It's almost like you were retraining your neural pathways to just learn a different route and look for. Yeah.
I knew my picker was all fucked up, right? Yeah. So like I was like, let me just see what it's like. And then if there was anything that felt comfortable or familiar or like him or anything that I was like, oh, that's spicy. That's, you know, I was like, not for me.
Yeah.
And then I created this. I think it's an excellent question. So this is the question that I ask like after a while, like maybe third date or so.
Okay.
And I'll say to them, Like, what's, you know, now you've already divulged that you've had long-term relationships, that whole thing. In my age, you know, people would have had maybe a divorce at this point. So I'll say, like, what's the worst thing that your partner would have said about you, right? And that, you have to think about what you would answer.
That's
as well,
a good question.
Right? Yeah. And they will tell you. They will tell you, and it is spot fucking on. One guy was like, I'm an alcoholic. And I dated him for 6 months. And then I watched him and I was like, yeah, yeah, that tracks. That tracks. It was like that. Absolutely. Yeah. So they will tell you, I'm an asshole. I'm selfish. I, you know, da, da, da. And it works every time, every time. And then you have to say, is this something that I'm available for? Is this something that I'm open to? And are they like my marriage now? I want to talk about that. Yeah. The difference.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question before. Did a guy ever say, they go, what would be the worst thing? Well, I'm too honest. I work too hard and my penis is too big.
No,
I guess that's what my,
yeah. And you know what? I will tell you, if they said my penis is too big, I'd be like, then this is not going to work. Because there is such a thing as a too big penis, and I am not a porn star. And you, unless you want to pay me, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not hurting myself for that. I'm not doing that. Like, no, I'm not exhausting my mouth, my puss, my ass, none of it. No.
Agreed.
Thank you. Yes. There's always too much.
Yes. Yeah, okay. So what does the new relationship look like compared to the last one?
So I've been with my husband since, so we started dating like before the divorce was final, but again, you know, it was like 3 years plus that I had been separated. And there, so we've had he has no children. We have a child together now. There's been a lot of growing pains, but he's amazing. And he's flawed. And he's like, you know, our first date, I asked him, like, he's a veteran. And I said, are you a Republican? And do you have PTSD? And he's like, you are the most inappropriate person ever. I was like, well, I need to know we're doing a second date. Like, I need to know what I'm dealing with.
I love you.
Like, will you choke me out in the middle of the night if I fuck you? And also, like, are we canceling each other out on votes? Like, what are we doing here? What's
valid
happening?
Questions.
Like, I want to know, like, base kind of thing. And so he kind of knew what he was up for. So we've have our struggles. We've had really hard times in these 10 years of being together, 12 years, 13 years, whatever it is. But he's very committed to growing and knowing himself and doing better. And to the point where we had just said, because we do couples therapy, individual therapy, whatever, you know, we need a lot of help around here, right? Because we're trying to model for our children.
Yes.
What can be. And he's stepping into this softness that I had asked for, like in my prayers and my dreams. And I'm noticing how I'm pushing back, because sometimes even when you ask for like a parent to get sober, or you ask, you know, like those things, you're like, why are you not doing this? Why are you not, you know, you have the old behavior that doesn't match the new behavior. So, but he's just wonderful. He really is. And he's complicated. And there are times where he's absolute shit, just like me. Right.
Yeah.
But because it's still a marriage and it's still people and their personalities.
But I think the key that you said that I like about him is he's willing to, because some of us are, some men, you know, we say shitty things, that's all we do, shitty things. But the idea that he's going to, I mean, you're also a handful, Jessica. You got a lot of stuff going on. And the idea that he's like, okay, I'm going to continue being introspective. I'm all in on this thing, you know, which maybe I wouldn't understand if I hadn't come across Jessica. But I'm all in. This is who I am. I'm not like, oh, this is who I am. And I'm going to, I'm this guy. Because it's to get someone to go with this journey, which you have to do, you got the family, you got the, by the way, is the 8-year-old a boy or a girl?
A girl.
Yeah, we got to have a play date. I have an 8-year-old in the other room here. But but you, who keeps turning the lights different colors behind me. But I think you get a man or a woman that's like, okay, I'm flawed. We're all flawed. But I'm willing to consider, being better. And you don't expect perfection because you don't give perfection. You know, progress, as we say. I think that's the key. That's the thing I hear that, because there's no perfect, there's no saints.
I also think, too, after being through what you went through and, I've certainly had my, interesting relationship choices. I think there is something sexy about a person. And I guess I don't mean that in a sexual way, but there's something, whether it's exciting or just a deeper feeling about somebody who does want to grow who themselves and not necessarily like, fixing themselves, but that you can also grow with on the journey. And
it's also lived. They've lived a life. He's a veteran. He's this, that.
Yeah.
He's done things. It's not like he comes into this perfect, like none of us do, but it's interesting. And I can tell you need to stay interested in people, whether intelligence or whatever, or emotional intelligence, because that keeps you in there too, because, you're so smart. But yeah, I think he can have a backstory that's, not perfect, but as long as he's going in your direction, I think that's a good key too.
Yeah. He's great. I mean, he's, sometimes I will tell you, he will kick me under the table, but it's usually because I'm opening my big mouth and he's like, shut the fuck. Like, oh my God, there she goes again.
Yeah.
I love that. But, oh my gosh. Wait, can you tell us what he does for a living or contrast to what you do?
He's a school psychologist.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, he's wonderful.
I love it.
Those guys are
school psychologist. Yeah. And so we went through, I was with him when he got his doctorate, and he's a school psychologist. And in fact, really funny story, at the time that I met him, mm-hmm. I was trying to, he just happened to be in this office. I was going for one of my kids, and I was with the preschool teacher and like the special ed teacher, and we're going in like, and they're cute and perky titted young blonde girls, and I was like, oh, look at that guy, he's hot. I was like, Rose, let me hook you up with him. He ends up sitting at our table, and I thought to myself, wow, he'd be an amazing boyfriend. I ended up running into him in my neighborhood months later.
I mean, what are the odds?
That's how that happened.
That's how God works.
Yeah.
And you recognize that, he's good. Normally, if we're in the day, someone would come back into our thing, we go, oh, that's the perfect, they'd be just shit. Oh, that's the shit I recognize from my other relationships. I'm into that. That seems perfect for me. And again, well, I appreciate you. You've been a unique voice on here. Mm-hmm. You're incredibly honest. Your journey is nuts. It's nuts. You have a mom that's an actress. Yeah. That right there.
I think you're our first guest who had a mom that's an actress.
Yeah.
Right? But also, she told you don't marry this guy, and you're like, "Fucking mom, I'll marry this guy."
Yeah, of course.
And yet she comes around, and you're still tight, and yeah, because that's
we went grocery shopping this morning.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So cool. So hot.
Yeah. Is your mom single?
She is, okay. And she's looking. I'll just put that out there.
Next time I'm out there.
Is she on Bumble?
She's not on Bumble.
Bumble for her or Silver Singles.
She doesn't like them because they're old.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I get that.
Like my mom is like, she wants to be like, she's like, can't you figure out a way to like get a club together so we could go like dancing? Like I had a party for her once where her girlfriends came over for brunch and they were like, can you put on Uptown Funk? And they were all dancing.
God. She wants my mom. Studio 54. That's what your mom wants.
She does. Yeah, she wants
to go back in time.
Yeah. And then she's like, and then same time she's like, I just want to retire. But you know, yeah. It's kind of same thing. But yeah. So
oh my gosh. Well, before we totally wrap up, I have one question for you. What advice would you give to anyone listening who's going through anything like you were going through?
I think to be gentle with yourself and to know that you will be loved again. You will not be alone. You will be loved again. And this is temporary, but you have to do the work. You have to do the work. Because I think that's what it was for me to think, you know, especially if you've been given a story that you're not, that you're damaged in some sort of way, your whole life, or not important, or whatever it is, whatever that story is, right?
Yeah.
That's probably not true. It's probably, I mean, I know it's not true. It's not probably, it's not fucking true. It's not fucking true. And you yeah. will be loved and to be gentle. And in divorce, everyone should be congratulated when they get divorced.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Congratulated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you still do those butthole massages? The thing where you're very gentle.
Oh, the colostomy.
Oh, was it just the colostomy place and not the butt?
No, I don't do butthole. That's not the service I provide.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it's kind. I just, the way you described it, I'm like, that sounds.
That's her OnlyFans membership, and that is $10.99 a month, Tom.
Yeah. Exactly. Well,
thank you. I'm going to go to a soccer game.
Go to soccer, and then fun. I want to wrap up with you about your podcast. All right, bye, Tom.
Thank you very much. I'd love to meet you sometime. Thank you.
Okay,
yes. Okay, so you have your own podcast. Tell us about your podcast and where people can find it and how people can reach out to you or work with you.
Sure. So my podcast is called Age Lust. And the idea is that as we age, we still have a lust for other things. It can be sex. It can be creativity. It can be art. It can be work. Just so many different things. So it used to be, because I've worked so much in the sexuality space, it was originally going to be sex only, but I talked to Buck Angel on it about what it's like to be a trans man at 60 years old. I have the next episode that's coming out is about death and dying. Mm-hmm. And so how do we live in that in-between space where we have maybe young people on one side and elders on the other, plus we might be seeing partners leave. But really, Age Lust is a letter to my children so that they can hopefully come back when they're adults and listen and say, like, that's who this person was, because we're not just parents or whatever. But so it's an evolving tiny podcast that I think I have a sex surrogate on there. So we're talking about what it's like to do sex surrogacy work at the age of 50. I talk about menopause. Ooh. I talk about testosterone. Yes. I talk about my breasts.
I
talk about orgasms, sleep. So it's a whole hodgepodge of things.
I can't wait to listen. I think it's so important to have all of these conversations. And I love, especially that you're talking about menopause. One of our guests that we had on, we were talking about hormones and peri and full, and it's stuff they don't tell you about. I just think it's so great that you're talking about it.
Yeah. It's just another transition. And there's no way to there's no right way to transition through aging, right? I talk about movement a lot because what becomes our priority? My priority at 52, would I love to look fabulous, you know, in everything I wear? Yeah, that'd be awesome. But there's also a different change. There's a change in my body and softness that I'm not used to, but I am enjoying it. Anyway. That's it. Yeah. But you can find it on all the podcasts.
Good. I love it.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Wow. Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.